We're a little more than 24 hours away from UFC 81, and for combat sports fans who just so happen to be pro wrestling and MMA enthusiasts, such as myself, this is the one we've been waiting for. Of course, Saturday night marks the UFC debut of former World Wrestling Entertainment champ Brock Lesnar as he goes up against former UFC heavyweight champ Frank Mir. Oh, and in case you forgot, Tim Sylvia and Antonio Minotauro Nogueira will also do battle for the interim heavyweight crown. So, here to break down all things Breaking Point is the brains behind one of the top MMA news sites out there, Mr. John Chandler of MMAOnTap.com. What's going on, John?
Not so much, Arrow. How are you?
I'm doing great, and let me just say, big fan of MMA on Tap. Love the writing that you guys do covering the sport, and really great to have you here.
The feeling's mutual. Jerry Park is always one of the first sites I check on in the morning, listen to the latest interview while I'm updating the site, so I'm a huge fan as well.
Thank you very much. All right, let's get all the pleasantries aside. Like I said, very exciting event for me. I know this particular card, you know, especially when all the bouts that have been announced for Ultimate Fight Night 13, it's hard to really think that this one is going to be the first UFC pay-per-view that is $44.95, close to, you know, any big boxing event that the UFC has upped the price. What do you think, first off? It's something that hasn't really been talked about in all the hype, especially on MMA websites, but I think it's curious that this is the one that they're charging the most ever for. What do you think of the UFC upping the price to sort of go toe-in-toe with boxing now?
Well, I kind of think it was inevitable. I mean, the way the cards are going these days, every single one of them stacked, you know, as the events go by, I mean, we get more and more fights that fans want to see. So I really think it was just a matter of time before they up the price. And with this one, I'm not going to say it's going to be their biggest event ever, but with Brock Lesnar headlining the card, it's definitely going to be a huge event for him. I think one of the biggest things that's not really been talked about is how well the UFC is going to do in terms of pay-per-view buys. I mean, you have the hardcore mixed martial arts fans, you have the professional wrestling fans, you have basically anyone who has even a tad of interest in seeing Brock Lesnar fight, they're going to be interested in buying this card. So I'm not going to say it's going to be the biggest event ever. I'm not sure if the numbers will top UFC 66 when Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz fall for the second time, but I think the UFC is definitely going to be pleasantly surprised at the numbers they're going to bring in.
Yeah, very interesting point. In Times Square, New York City, huge billboard of Lesnar and Mir at MSG for the Royal Rumble. There were tons of banners everywhere with pictures of Lesnar. I mean, I think that the marketing that they've done has been incredible. And like you said, something that hasn't really been talked about because, for whatever reason, I mean, maybe it's the Super Bowl weekend or whatnot, a lot of people haven't really put in predictions as to how many buys this one will get. And it probably won't break the Liddell Ortiz buy rate of UFC 66. But you have a feeling, though, that this one could top up maybe even like the 750,000 mark?
I think so. I mean, the marketing for this event has been unbelievable. I mean, I live in the Philadelphia area, and I can honestly say that there hasn't been a day that's gone by where I haven't seen a commercial or a promo for UFC 81. I mean, if you go to World Wrestling Entertainment, their official site right now, the site is taken over by UFC. Basically, they have banners, they have ads, the background, the wallpapers, Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir. I mean, the marketing has been absolutely incredible. They've done a really good job. I mean, like I said before, the amount of people that will be interested in this fight just because it's Brock Lesnar, I don't think anyone can really estimate the exact number of people right now, but I don't think we should underestimate the amount of pay-per-view buys that this event could really generate.
Now, are you a pro wrestling fan, John?
I'm a huge pro wrestling fan.
Because I was actually hoping that you weren't one, because I'm curious, because I get a sense from reading some of the MMA only sites that some of them are for lack of a better word, they're hoping that Brock fails because they view this guy. I mean, let's be real. Since the UFC's boom, this is the first big name star to jump from the WWE to UFC. Kent Shamrock was kind of before all that, although he did help spark the whole UFC revival. But I get the feeling that a lot of people, especially since Frank Mir is this big name, former UFC champ, you know, has great ground skills, he's kind of a MMA purist, that a lot of people are sort of hoping that Brock comes in here, fails, and goes away. Do you get that sense also?
I get the sense because I'm actually one of those people.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I really think that a lot of people are getting hyped up on the fact that it's Brock Lesnar coming into the UFC and nothing else. I mean, granted, he's a former standout college wrestler. He has the credentials. I mean, his wrestling is amazing, to say the least. But he has barely any MMA experience at all. He has one professional fight against Minsoo Kim, and I said 1 minute 9 seconds. He has absolutely no amateur experience at all, and he's been training for maybe a year and a year and a half now, and he's going up against a former UFC heavyweight champion and Frank Mir. I mean, people are saying that Lesnar's going to run all over Mir. He's just going to maul him, and once he takes it to the ground, I'm really one of those people who doesn't see it happening.
So you actually think that Mir is going to come out top, despite the fact that obviously Lesnar's incredible strength, his prowess in the wrestling game is second to none. But despite his green nature in the world of mixed martial arts, will sort of bow down to Frank, the former champ.
Definitely. I mean, I think we've all seen what happens when a wrestler with barely any experience comes in and he wants to try and throw down with the big boys. I mean, we saw Josh Koscheck in season 1 of The Ultimate Fighter. He looked very good. I mean, he was a tremendous athlete. He did very well. He beat Chris Weidman with a sound game plan. But then he went up against a more well-rounded fighter in Diego Sanchez, and he ended up losing. He didn't have that much striking ability. I mean, he didn't really have a game plan other than he was going to take, Sanchez down and try and lay on him for 3 rounds. It takes time to learn the skills that are needed to succeed in the sport. I mean, it's basically a gamble at this point in guessing if Lesnar has progressed enough or not in order to defeat Mir. I mean, I know he has a huge strength advantage. I think Mir has the ground skills. Basically, this fight's going to go to the ground. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I think Mir's ground game is unbelievable. His submissions are some of the best in the game. But I really think his defense on the ground, I think he's intelligent enough where he's going to be able to defend himself so much that he won't take that much punishment from Lesnar. And I really think that I'm sure he's improved immensely since the last fight, but I'm not so sure he's developed the skill level to be able to control Mir on the ground, to be able to work some ground and pound without getting caught in a submission.
All right, so that said, what do you think of Joe Silva's decision to match Lesnar up against Frank Mir in his first bout in the UFC? Do you think that ultimately this will look to be a huge mistake on their part?
It depends. It depends if Lesnar wins this fight or not. I mean, there was rumors floating around when Lesnar first signed that he was going to fight Brad Imes, or a lower caliber fighter, I guess you would say. And when he was matched up against Mir, I was very surprised. I was very surprised. And, I mean, basically, if Lesnar wins, it's huge. It's good and bad. It's huge for him. It's a huge win. But it's good and bad because you've already fought Frank Mir. Is the UFC going to match you up against a lower competition and take away, I guess, the hype you built up for yourself? I mean, they might really have no choice except to just throw him in there with the wolves and match him up against the better fighters in the division if he beats Frank Mir.
Yeah, I guess the thought process might have been, if he loses to Frank Mir, you can always say, well, this huge investment did lose to a UFC champion. And then conversely, if he beats Frank Mir, then you build him up as the guy beat a former UFC champ. Final question on actual hype and the selling of this fight. What are your thoughts on the Super Bowl weekend UFC cards? I know it's very busy in Las Vegas. I know a lot of people are there for gambling and everything to watch the Super Bowl at the casinos and all that. But I always feel as though the sports media world is focusing so much on the Super Bowl. And here you have a good example of a guy who has some credibility in the sports world due to his accomplishments at the University of Minnesota, wrestling and all that. And this could have been a good opportunity to put a fight like this on a weekend where they aren't competing against the biggest sporting event of the year. Do you find that a bit curious, or am I just kind of looking into it and giving too much stock into, the Saturday night versus Sunday night attention that sports writers give to events?
Well, no, I think you make a great point. I mean, the UFC Super Bowl weekend events, they've always been big. They've always been stacked with good fights, notable names on the card. I think I'm not so sure if the UFC purposely did it in order to match up the debut of Brock Lesnar against the Super Bowl. I don't think it was a bad idea at all because, I mean, being that the events are on different nights. I mean, basically, Super Bowl weekend, everyone gathers on Sunday night and watch the big game. Saturday night, there's nothing really going on. So it was a smart decision on their part, in order to grab Saturday night and make it their own. But the problem is it... are people even going to realize that it's actually going on with all the Super Bowl talk going on?
Right, yeah, that was the thing that I was afraid of. But nevertheless, it's on the front page of Yahoo.com today, so they seem to be doing a good job of selling the fight. So, all right, Lesnar and Mir, the one that's grabbing all the headlines, but the main event of UFC 81, Tim Sylvia and Antonio Minotauro Nogueira for the interim heavyweight title. At some point, we have to expect that this will then sort of lead to the official title as the Randy Couture situation plays out. And if he does stay true to his word that he will never fight in the UFC. Regardless of all that, it is going to be a five-round fight. Sylvia Nogueira, battle of former UFC and Pride champions. What do you think about this one?
It's a huge fight. I mean, you throw the title in there, it obviously makes it a big fight, but it's another UFC versus Pride fight. It has roots that go all the way back to when the UFC was, you know, just about to surge in popularity, when Pride was still going strong. Both guys were proponents of, you know, going to their promotion and saying, hey, you know, why don't you bring him over here? I'll fight him. You know, we'll settle this age-old debate, you know, of which organization has the better fighters. So it's a huge fight.
Yeah, it really is, because, like you said, when both organizations were really building up, these were the two faces of those companies. You know, you can make that argument. Obviously, Nogueira had, you know, Krokop and Emelianenko and all those guys, and Sylvia had Liddell and Ortiz, but those were the heavyweight champs, and the heavyweight championship always gets a little more pub than everyone else. With that said, you know, Nogueira makes his debut at UFC 73 against Heath Herring, and he would have been another one of those Pride guys that lost in his debut. I mean, you think about all the Pride guys that have come over, and across the board, all of them have done really poorly, including himself, a very uninspiring victory. Now he gets that shot at the UFC title. Are you expecting him to shake off those cobwebs in terms of fighting in the octagon and eventually overpower Sylvia?
I think he's going to do much better than he did in his fight against Heath Herring, but ultimately I think he's going to end up losing this fight. It's a very tough matchup for him. On paper, it looks like he should absolutely dominate Sylvia. I mean, he's fought the better competition, he's beaten the better names. I just don't think it's going to be the case in this fight.
You think that Tim Sylvia is going to be the new UFC champ or interim champ?
Exactly, yeah.
Wow, I think a lot of UFC fans are cringing right now listening to this. It's almost a UFC fan's worst nightmare. And so if that does come true, what do you think Tim Sylvia needs to do? Because, you know, Minotauro, great on the ground, great boxing skills, which sometimes gets overlooked. And Sylvia, I mean, here's a guy who a lot of people hate and a lot of people don't want to see in the heavyweight title picture, but he's fought in 9 of the last 11 UFC heavyweight championship bouts and just refuses to go away. What do you think he needs to do to actually beat Minotauro?
Well, I think we have to remember that Nogueira's wrestling, his takedowns, they're not going to be on the same level as Randy Couture's. I mean, I know Couture made Sylvia look like absolutely nothing in that fight. He took him down at will. But I think a lot of people are forgetting that in his past fights against Jeff Monson, against Andrei Arlovsky, his takedown defense has been very, very good. So against a fighter who's a lesser caliber wrestler compared to Couture, I think he's actually going to do very well. Basically, the only way that I see Nogueira winning this fight is if he takes Sylvia down, and it's obviously going to be a tough task. I mean, yeah, he's very dangerous off of his back, which is, I'm sure, where this fight's going to end up in. It's five rounds. He can go anywhere. I think that Sylvia's ground game, it's not, you know, spectacular, but I think it's good enough that he's going to be able to defend submission attempts while, you know, while doing damage on the ground. The majority of his fight, it's definitely going to take place on the feet, though. I mean, Nogueira is a solid striker. He's very surprised against Heath Herring. He picked him apart, except for the kick where he nearly got knocked out. I mean, he recovered from that. He got up, and he picked Heath Herring apart very badly during, like, the rest of the fight. I mean, as long as the fight remains on the feet, I think Nogueira is going to be able to hold his own. But I think the way the reach advantage that Sylvia has, I mean, the way his punching style is, I think he's eventually going to wear Nogueira down.
All right, so I guess John Chandler is choosing Tim Sylvia, much to the chagrin of many UFC fans. Speaking of fights that people aren't talking about, but yet has some intrigue surrounding it, Jeremy Horn making his UFC return, going up against Nate Marquardt. It's been a while since we've seen both of these guys. Nate, last time we saw him, UFC 73, losing a pretty tough battle to Anderson Silva. I mean, no shame in losing to Silva right now. And Jeremy Horn, the last time we saw him, UFC 60, with a victory over Chael Sonnen. Both these guys, definitely forces to be reckoned with in the 185 division. I mean, Marquardt was a number one contender, and Horn has been around seemingly forever. What are you expecting when Gumby goes up against Marquardt?
Well, I think this is one of those fights that a lot of people wished would happen, but they didn't really think it was ever going to come to fruition. So definitely huge props to Joe Silva and the UFC for setting this one up. It's a very even fight. Both guys have similar styles. a lot of people would say that these two are queens of each other. I think it's true to some extent. I'd probably give the edge to Marquardt on the feet. He's a decent striker. He'll be able to defend himself on the feet pretty well. And he'll still be able to score punches. But I think that Marquardt will probably outclass him on the feet based on the fact that he's a more technical striker. When it comes to the ground, Horn's a wizard. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I don't think you can't help but give him the edge in the submission department. That doesn't mean that Marquardt will be able to hold his own, though. He's very good when the fight hits the mat. I mean, he's shown that in the past. He's technical with his submissions. He's very slick. I think his submission defense is solid enough that he'll be able to prevent Horn from pulling anything big off. I think Marquardt's the stronger fighter. I mean, I know Horn's fought at 205 pounds earlier in his career, but I think Marquardt has a more solid base. I think he's the all-around stronger fighter, so I think he'll be able to power his way out of a lot of things, too. The key to this fight is whether or not Horn will be able to take Marquardt down, in my opinion. He'll do well on the feet, but ultimately the only way he's going to be able to finish the fight is if he gets to the ground. Marquardt is very good takedown defense, just like we saw in his fight against Dean Lister. I kind of see this one going the distance, but I think Marquardt's going to come out the winner, probably by unanimous decision.
All right, very interesting. You know, the fight that we're predicting to be fight of the night, Tyson Griffin going up against Gleison Tibau. We spoke recently to Tyson. Seems very adamant on not letting this one get into the judges' hands. His last few fights went the distance, but, you know, 2007, he was Mr. Fight of the Night. Two victories, one loss, and all of them across the board, amazing ones, highlighted by his loss a year ago to Frankie Edgar. What are you expecting from Griffin now? And well, let me just say that on the UFC.com website, it says that this one won't be broadcast live. Griffin tells us otherwise. So the fans are going to get to see this one. But when Griffin goes up against Tibau, what should we expect?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to mention to you. Because I listened to the interview the other day, and you said that the fight was actually going to be televised, which I think is, you know, the UFC would be very stupid not to. I mean, every single one of his fights, well, three out of the four have been fight of the night. I think it's another candidate for fight of the night. Both guys have similar, I wouldn't say similar styles, but they both like to push the pace, and I think it's going to be a very exciting fight. I mean, they're definitely going to want to put on the show for the fans. It's hard to say who has the edge where in this fight. I think a lot of people would say that Tyson Griffin has a huge edge on the feet, but I mean, and the fights I've watched Tibau in, he's held his own on the feet. He's been very surprising. I mean, they're not necessarily the best strikers, but they can get the job done. I mean, they can definitely hurt their opponents when it comes, you know, to the striking game. Tibau is very dangerous position. He's a very good jiu-jitsu guy. And Griffin's obviously an amazing wrestler, as we've all seen before in this catch bouts. Both guys are on a roll. Griffin's been absolutely spectacular since he lost to Frankie Edgar. Tibau was pretty much thrown to the wolves that side when he took on Nick Diaz in his very first fight. Since then, you know, he's regained his confidence. He's won three straight bouts, so I expect this to be a very competitive fight. Tibau likes to control his opponents. You know, I mean, he likes to be in control. He likes to be behind the wheel. I really don't think he's going to be able to do that against Griffin. You know, as we saw against Thiago Tavares, Griffin ended up in some dangerous positions, but he always seemed to find his way out of them, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen in this fight. I think, I mean, position-wise, Tibau definitely has the edge. I think he's definitely going to want to try and, you know, maybe get on, take Griffin's back, you know, choke him out. But I think Griffin's wrestling is just going to be way too good. I mean, I think Tibau is going to be able to put Griffin in some predicaments, but I really don't think he'll be able to finish him off with anything. I don't think this one's going to get a distance. I know a lot of Griffin's fights have gone, you know, he's won a unanimous decision. I think that he'll probably be able to finish Tibau off if strikes in the second round. I kind of see Tibau shooting him for a takedown and then Griffin stuffing it, and then he'll eventually overwhelm him with strikes, and then that'll be the fight.
Let's say your prediction does come true and Griffin does reign victorious over Tibau. How far away do you think he is from a UFC lightweight title shot? I mean, is he a few fights away? Is he one or two fights away? Where in your mind do you sort of place Griffin right now in the rankings of the UFC lightweight division?
Well, I mean, if you look past BJ Penn and Sean Strick, there's really not a definitive answer to that question. I mean, the division's wide open. I mean, you see, Griffin's beat Guida, and then Guida lost to Huerta. So, I mean, is Griffin going to be matched up against Huerta when Huerta returns? I mean, you have Kenny Florian. He's going up against Joe Lozon. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are going to put a lot of credit behind Lozon's knockout of Pulver. I mean, the division's so wide open. I'd say that he's probably going to need to win at least one, probably two more fights before, you know, he's actually in line for a title shot.
Okay, so good things to look forward to when discussing the career of Tyson Griffin. The last fight that is probably for sure to be televised, Ricardo Almeida making his UFC return. Haven't seen him in many years. In 2002 exactly was the last time he fought in the UFC. Took a break for a few years to focus on his school and his family life and all that in New Jersey. Going up against just a late replacement to the UFC 81 card, Rob Yount, a guy that a lot of people probably don't know a lot about. 7-0. Fighting out of Anchorage, Alaska, coming in for the injured Alan Belcher. So what do you expect? I mean, here's a guy making his UFC debut, great wrestling skills, ground and pound, and doing a lot of good things in Alaska, kind of channeling maybe the success of Doug Evans, who you know, in his UFC debut came in very unheralded and gave Roger Huerta a tough bout last June against a guy who hasn't fought in many years, but one of the best in 185 when he was competing. What are you expecting from these two guys?
Well, to touch on your first point about being televised, I mean, I really wouldn't be surprised if the UFC moved the fight to the end of the card just because Alan Belcher's not in the fight anymore. I mean, there's so many fights in this card. I mean, there's Terry Martin, Marvin Eastman, Chris Weidel, Kyle Bradley. They could definitely move it up and then use Almeida's fight as a swing bat if they really want to push his return that much. But well, I guess we'll see what happens.
Good point.
I think. What is that?
No, sorry, I just said good point.
Thanks. But, yeah, I think Almeida is a question mark going into this bout. I mean, we all know what he's capable of from earlier on in his career. But the fact of the matter is this is going to be his first fight in almost 4 years. I mean, I can't even remember off the top of my head another fighter coming off from that long of a layoff and then doing well. So, I mean, it's definitely a question as to whether or not he's going to succeed. I mean, during his time off, he's been running his gym. He's been staying active, you know, since his departure. But it's almost impossible, you know, to get a definitive answer as to where he's going to be coming into this fight. I mean, so much has happened since his last fight in 2004. Yeah, he defeated the year Chairman. The game's changed completely. I mean, fighters need to be decent at everything right now. So hopefully he's done his homework. You know, he's been training, and hopefully he's revolutionized his game to the point where he'll be able to hang in with the guys that are in 185 right now.
You touched on Marvin Eastman and Terry Martin as well. This one's really interesting for me just because both guys are the prototypical standard bangers. Every time I watch Terry Martin, I think of a mini Mike Tyson, and his success was sort of derailed for a second in a tough loss against Chris Lieben, knocked out in the third round at 356 on a UFC fight night in September after winning two in a row against Ivan Salivary and Jorge Rivera. Eastman, the last time we saw him, as was chronicled at Jerry Park just yesterday, fighting against Quentin Rampage Jackson in Jackson's debut, gave him a tough bout, but eventually succumbed in the second round. It's been a year since we've seen him. He had the eye surgery, did squeeze in a fight and a victory over Rob Kimmins, but this is the last fight on his current UFC contract. Is it do or die for Eastman, and do you expect this to be his last fight when he eventually potentially loses to Martin?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be his last fight. I really don't like him in this fight. I mean, if you want to pick a guarantee for, I'd say, someone getting knocked out, I think it's this fight. I mean, those guys are huge power. They're quick on their feet. They're explosive. I mean, I'd probably give Edwin the edge in explosiveness just because, you know, he's a former football player. You know, he's just a quick guy. I think he's a much better athlete compared to Martin, but I think Marvin Easton's downfall is similar to a guy like Chris Weidel, who, I mean, he comes in with a good game plan. Either he comes in with a good game plan or he completely throws it out the window, and he usually just gets good and into it, slugging it out, and I really think that's the one thing he does want to do in this fight. I mean, he's been knocked out in the past. Travis Reeder knocked him out. Rampage Jackson put him down. Eastman's chin is very questionable, and there's no doubt that Terry Martin has the power to be able to knock him out, and that's definitely what's going to happen in this fight, in my opinion. I think it might go past the first round, but once Martin's able to touch Eastman on the chin a few times, I think it'll be over shortly after that.
All right, a few other cards rounding out you. Excuse me, a few other fights rounding out the UFC 81 card. Chris Lytle, Kyle Bradley. There's also Rob Emerson returning to the octagon against Keita Nakamura. David Heath against Tim Butcher. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I heard various ways of pronouncing his name, but he's making his UFC debut after coming from the IFL. Which one of those should we expect anything? Is there anything exciting coming out that you expect from any one of those bouts?
I think the most competitive bout, the most compelling bout, is probably Chris Lloyd versus Kyle Bradley. It's an interesting matchup. I mean, we all know what Lloyd brings to the table. He's very well-rounded. He just always seems to come out on the wrong end of the spectrum during his fights. And he always puts on the show. All these fights are very exciting. I don't think that's going to change in this one. I think Kyle Bradley is a pretty one-dimensional fighter. I mean, he's fought in small shows, and he's finished all but one of his opponents, but he likes to stand and bang. And we all know that Chris Lloyd will love to do that. I just think that Chris Lloyd's boxing is a little too technical for Bradley. I mean, I think this fight will probably go past the first round. But after that, Bradley's probably going to end up, you know, getting stopped with strikes. I mean, if it goes to the ground, he's in the worst trouble because the way those submissions are very decent, and I don't really see Bradley having any sort of ground game in his arsenal right now. So I think Lloyd's going to finish this fight.
Awesome stuff, John. Great talking with you, breaking down Breaking Point, UFC 81. Tim Sylvia, Minotauro, and of course Lesnar, Frank Mir, two of the fights to highlight, but a very solid undercard nevertheless, even though not getting any of the attention at all in the media circles right now. Best of luck to you, John, with the site MMA on Tap. We love it, like I said, always checking it out, and a great writing. Just because you're not always putting the quotes like everyone else and throwing in a line here or there, I mean, you're really actually writing legitimate articles and news reports, so we always appreciate that.
Thank you, Ariel. Thanks for having me.